Dr. Stan back here at Radio Liberty, coming to you from the hills overlooking beautiful and picturesque Monterey Bay, and bringing you the news behind the news, the story behind the story, hoping to convince you that reality is usually scoffed at, illusion is usually king. But in the battle for survival of Western civilization, it's going to be reality, not illusion or delusion, that's going to determine what the future will bring. And I have to remind you the views that are expressed here are not those of the owners, management, staff, sponsors, or supporters of this station. They're my views, the views of our guests, and views of our callers. Of course, we always welcome your calls at 1-888-24-LIBERTY, or here in the Central Coast of California at 464-8295. But please hold your calls for the time being. We have with us today Alan Quist. And Alan Quist is a college professor. He teaches political science. He's been in education for many, many years. And, of course, he's been very, very concerned about the national requirements for education, this whole idea of no child left behind. Now, you might wonder what would be wrong with certainly improving education for our children, and that's what the American people have been told this is all about. But that's not what it's really all about. If they told the American people what the federal standards for education really were about, they would be horrified. In fact, they would probably rise up in righteous indignation. But, of course, this is a long-range plan. And, of course, Alan has studied this. He's written a wonderful book called Fed Ed. In fact, in the foreword to the book written by Phyllis Schlafly, she says that this is one of the most important books of our time. And after you've read this book, it's a simple book to read. It's not difficult at all, but I have to agree with it. Every American, every parent, every grandparent has to understand there is a, and I believe, a diabolical plan to use this idea of helping our children to destroy their faith in God and family and country. Alan, thank you so much for being with us, and thank you so much for writing Fed Ed.
Well, Dr. Stan, thank you once again for having me on your show. It is always a pleasure for me to have a conversation with you and especially with your listeners.
Well, why don't you tell us a little bit about, of course, what you've discovered as you've gone into the background of this new legislation. Basically, it was the Kennedy bill that George Bush pushed through the Congress and the Senate and adopted a program aimed not at increasing or helping education, but of transforming education.
Well, that's exactly right, Dr. Stan. It was and is the Kennedy bill, and Ted Kennedy and President George W. Bush traveled around the country together, hand in hand, arm in arm, to sell this bill to the American public. And that should have told the citizens of our country right there that there was something very wrong with this bill. But the listeners have to keep in mind that the forces of evil typically come with some kind of sugar coating. They come in a nice-sounding, nice-appearing package. And the package of this law, No Child Left Behind, and of course just that title sounds good. The package of this law is that of teaching supposedly academic standards, teaching the Bill of Rights, teaching the Constitution, teaching the Declaration of Independence, teaching the foundational principles of our country to our children. That's the packaging, that's the sugar coating, but the reality of what this law does is very, very different, unfortunately.
Well, why don't you sort of take as an example what they teach our children about the Bill of Rights, about the Universal Declaration of Human Rights, which is a godless United Nations document, and how they have distorted the meaning of the Bill of Rights in an effort to undermine the children's belief in the sanctity of our traditional documents and certainly of the Bill of Rights. What have they done?
Well, let's start with something that I usually don't talk about because this bill is so big and there's so many angles to it. But let me start with the textbook form of the federal curriculum, and this was published by the Center for Civic Education, directed to be done by H.R. 1, No Child Left Behind, also funded, by the way, with our tax money. And I'd like to read just a little bit from the textbook that is the federal curriculum in how it describes the Bill of Rights. And I'm going to quote, and it'll just take about 20 seconds or so. This is what the textbook says. It says, quote, "The reaction of most people to the Bill of Rights was lukewarm at best. Its passage had little effect on the average person. The Anti-Federalists were unhappy with its passage. They thought it spoiled their chances to rewrite the Constitution. They said the amendments were good for nothing. Senator William Grayson of Virginia said they will do more harm than good. The Federalists, at the same time, were angry. They considered the Bill of Rights of little importance. Even Madison, quote, tired of all the disagreement and dissent, had come to think of the whole experience as a nauseous project. So that's the approach, or that's the attitude that the federal government takes towards the Bill of Rights. Just look at those terms, nauseous project, little importance, do more harm than good.
And yet, of course, they were really the bulwark of our Constitution, and of course, it never would have been passed without the guarantee we would have a Bill of Rights, because the fear was that the government would take away our freedom. And so basically, if you read the Bill of Rights, it's a restriction on the federal government. Congress shall make no law respecting an establishment of religion or prohibiting the free exercise thereof. The right of the people to keep and bear arms shall not be abridged. It was restricting the government. That's what it was all about. That's why it was so important.
That's exactly right, Dr. Stan. And the whole idea of the Constitution was that it would be limited government. It would have only those rights delegated to it by the people through the Constitution, and all other rights would remain with the people and the states.
And, of course, that's because our rights came from God, contrary to the rights of the people of the United Nations or any other governmental document.
That's exactly right. And when I teach my American government class at Bethany College, one of the points I make is that the big question in whether you have tyranny or freedom is this. In freedom, our rights are higher than the particular government. In tyranny, the government is higher than our rights. So the whole question is which one is at the top, the government or our rights. The way our founders set up our Constitution, they made it clear that our rights were at the top, and Constitution was the government via the Constitution was the servant of the people to protect their rights. The new federal curriculum turns that upside down. It makes government, puts government at the top, God doesn't even exist, and the people, the subjects, are underneath the government. And then what you get, ultimately, is a tyranny, not a system of democracy or freedom.
All right, we'll be back in just a moment with Alan Quist, and let me just comment, of course, you can get the book FedEd by calling 1-800-544-8927, 1-800-5-HIV-WAR. It's a very important book. It costs $12 plus shipping, but you need to get it, you need to read it, and you need to help us get the information out that, of course, the Republican administration put through Senator Ted Kennedy's bill. I mean, one of the most vile, obnoxious people in the United States Senate, and yet, of course, the Republicans passed his bill. And it is aimed at, of course, distorting any meaning of the Constitution and really, of course, undermining faith in God, family, and country. Well, right now I just want to mention, if you haven't made any preparation, in case we are going to have some difficult times, since we are definitely going to war, there's nothing that Saddam Hussein could do right now to avoid a war. We are intent on going to war. And, of course, one of the things you ought to do is make some preparations for yourself. And if you have not yet got a preparatory packet, let me suggest you call 1-800-453-2202. That's 1-800-453-2202. And talk to the people there at Ready Preserve Foods. Ask them for a preparatory list. And, of course, they'll send you one of their catalogs as well on Ready Preserve Foods. And then, of course, if you'd like to build up your immune system for this time of year, the colds that... Alamax, which is the active ingredient in garlic, actually it's allicin, allicin compound. And why don't you just give it a try? Call 1-866-405-4000, 1-866-405-4000. I've been taking it for about 3 months, and everybody else around me has been sick so far. I haven't been, and let's hope it continues working. book that will really help you to understand the nature of the spiritual battle in which we're currently involved is Gary Kaw's book, The Demonic Roots of Globalism. Now, you may remember Gary Kaw's book, En Route to Global Occupation. His second book, The Demonic Roots of Globalism, goes into the very real spiritual forces, the dark and sinister spiritual forces, which have energized those people who are molding the world in which we live today. Going into the background of Masonry, Theosophy, and he actually quotes extensively from the writings of these people who have helped to mold the events of the 20th century. The Demonic Roots of Globalism by Gary Kaw will give you tremendous insight into the background of what's happening in America today. And unless you understand the spiritual forces at work, you really can't understand the unfolding of events. Call 1-800-5-HIV-WAR and ask for The Demonic Roots of Globalism by Gary Kaw. Well, this is Dr. Stan back here at Radio Liberty, and of course I'm talking with Alan Quist, who is a college professor, and we're just talking about this whole plan, these federal regulations, these federal standards that we have been sold a bill of goods on. Oh, we want to get all the children well educated. We want them to learn reading and writing and arithmetic and the Constitution, but really, is that the focus of this, or is the major focus of these federal standards a changing attitude and beliefs and values?
Well, Dr. Stan, unfortunately, the focus is on attitudes, beliefs, and values, and it's not the attitudes and beliefs and values of our founders. It's not equality. It's not basic rights granted by God. It's not natural law, right and wrong. It's not right to life. It's not right to property. All those things are considered the past, and the new federal curriculum takes the view that it's out with the past and out with the old and in with the new. It takes the view that that not only the Constitution but our entire system of government is evolving into something which it considers to be better. And ultimately where it goes is the argument that just as the states 200 years ago got together to form a national government, today it is now time for the national nations of the world, the national governments of the world, to get together and form a world federalism, a world government, a one world government, and that, the way they see it, is the new step in evolution of government. But what they're talking about, of course, is a tyranny, not a system of government, but that's the big plan.
And, of course, it really is all about the New World Order, the New World Religion that they want. Why is the Republican administration backing this stupid, this dangerous, subversive sort of an agenda?
Well, it is really interesting, and there are, unfortunately, Dr. Stan, there are too many people who have been fooled by this and who say things like Goals 2000 is dead, and say things like this No Child Left Behind bill, because it's a Republican bill, because it's a Republican law, has to be a good thing. I was just reading this morning from one of the people that implemented the whole radical system under Bill Clinton, and he says very frankly that the No Child Left Behind is a continuation of and an extension of Bill Clinton's educational agenda, Goals 2000, School to Work, H.R. 6, which was the funding bill, which involves the federal government's takeover of the curriculum and the policy in our schools.
But, you know, it was sold to us. In fact, when I interviewed George Bush, he said, I want to return control to the local school district. I want to return control of education to the families. And what he did was exactly the opposite. What he did was centralize it all in Washington, D.C., so all teaching would have to be exactly the same, and, of course, they would begin testing the children, and the children would have to be educated to pass the test, and they would have to develop the attitudes towards our diversity and multiculturalism and, of course, towards environmentalism and towards internationalism and socialism that the people who made up this whole system want. And that is exactly what they want, isn't it? They are pro-socialist, against the national sovereignty, and certainly against traditional freedom as we know it.
Well, let me just take the issue of national sovereignty. Again, I'm going to refer to this textbook, We the People, the Citizen, and the Constitution. This is the textbook form of the federal curriculum, It was authorized by first H.R. 6 under Bill Clinton, and then H.R. 1, No Child Left Behind, under President George W. Bush, continued the authorization, printed at our tax money. This particular book has an entire unit called What Rights Does the Bill of Rights Protect? Okay, that's an entire unit, 35 pages. And this unit, What Rights Does the Bill of Rights Protect, mentions the First Amendment 16 times, or on 16 pages. It deals with Amendments 4 through 8 on 17 pages, but it never mentions once, never mentions the 10th Amendment, which is there to protect the rights of the states and of the people, and never mentions the Second Amendment, the right to bear arms, even though that's mentioned in a derogatory manner earlier. So the real agenda, the real agenda is disarming the citizens, and of course that's what the one worlders want, making our country into a unitary government, not a federal government, where the federal government makes all the decisions and the states just implement the decisions that have been passed down from the federal. So it's all geared to this worldview of one worldism, top-down authority, where supposedly we are going to be better off if we come under this world domination.
Well, I'm sure many of the people who thought this was so wonderful to teach the Bill of Rights never knew that they would teach the Bill of Rights and intentionally delete the 10th Amendment, intentionally delete the 2nd Amendment, and of course the way they handled certainly all of these other rights in the Bill of Rights. Don't they even compare it to the Universal Declaration of Human Rights and maybe suggest, at least inadvertently, that maybe the Universal Declaration of Human Rights, which comes from the United Nations, is better than the Bill of Rights because, after all, there are more rights there. I mean, the right to a job, the right to food, the right to all these things, which are basically socialist things. But, of course, in the Universal Declaration of Human Rights, your rights don't come from God. They come from government, and of course, they can be taken away. They're only you have those rights as long as they go along with, of course, the official government policy, which is exactly as it is in Fidel Castro's Cuba today, exactly as it is in Vietnam, where you have freedom of speech, as long as it doesn't violate what the government wants.
Well, that's exactly right, Dr. Stan. Now, here's this textbook. It's a textbook that's supposed to teach the Constitution and the Bill of Rights. And then you look at the appendix, what do you find? Well, you find the Constitution, but what do you find next? You find the Universal Declaration of Human Rights right next. Now, what's that doing in the appendix on a textbook on American government? That's not American government. That's the United Nations. The International Declaration of Human Rights was adopted in 1948. It's a UN document. As you point out, this document, second to the last paragraph, says that there are no rights contrary to the policies and declarations of the United Nations. So which is higher, the government, the UN, or our rights? Well, it's the UN, and that takes exactly the same form as the Constitution of Communist Cuba, the Constitution of Communist China, and they all say the same thing. Yes, you have freedom of speech as long as what you say conforms to the policies of the communist government.
And, of course, this is what they're teaching in our public schools today, exactly what they would teach in Moscow or in Beijing or in Havana, Cuba. And it's being paid for with the American taxpayers' dollar. And there's probably not one in 1,000 parents that has any idea because, of course, well, we couldn't imagine the Republicans doing that.
That's true. And many of the senators and congressmen have no idea what it is.
And you've actually talked to them. I know you and your group have been to Washington, D.C., and have spent a lot of time talking to these people. How do they defend what they've done?
Well, they can't defend it once they begin to realize what it is. But what has happened is the whole thing has been sugar-coated to them. And you take an education bill, they're typically over 1,000 pages. And in this case, you've got a package of, like in 1994, you had three education bills. So you've got over 3,000 pages. The senators and congressmen don't sit down and read those. And so you have to have staff people read them. The staff people, unfortunately, don't know what to look for and don't understand what's being said because everything is interconnected. The way the advocates of this radical program sell it to the congressmen and to the staffers and so on is the same way that businesses devise commercials for their products. And they'll do something like this. They'll get a group of 25 people in a room, and then they'll put different pictures or words on a screen, and then they get the people to respond to whether they like this or they don't like it. So imagine a group of 25 people watching on a screen, and you put on the screen the word tyranny. Everybody's going to say, oh, that's awful. You put on the screen Constitution, everybody's going to applaud. You put on the screen Bill of Rights, everybody's going to applaud. You put on the screen something like freedom, voluntary, everybody's going to applaud. So what they do is they take these words that provide, that get a positive response, and they use those words to constantly sell the program, even though it's a total lie, Dr. Stan. People that will look at the program and just see what the law says are going to be floored, but they have been sold a lie, and unfortunately, there aren't very many people who understand, and that's why you and I are here doing what we're doing, saying what we're saying, so that the American public can find out the truth about what's happening.
And, of course, you know, what they don't understand is that they are indoctrinating our children in hatred of everything that has to do with America. But they do it so subtly. And, of course, Constitution's just fine, but, and of course it's that but that people have to understand. And, you know, they have set this whole thing up without ever mentioning the right of the people to keep and bear arms. And, of course, you have to understand that our founding fathers put that in because they feared our government would become a dictatorship. And then, of course, to take out the 10th Amendment, which restricts the power of the federal government. A government that can do whatever it wants to knows no limitations, and that's exactly what we're seeing today in Washington, D.C. All the new laws passed in the name of fighting terrorism, and we still leave our borders open so the terrorists can come in. What's wrong with this picture? Well, right now we're going to have to take a quick break here, and let me mention some of the items that we carry. We certainly carry the Miracle 2 soap products, and we can't make any medical claims for them, but I will tell you a lot of the people who have used them tell us really that's amazing, amazing things that have helped them and helped their families. And so if you'd like to know more about them, well, you can give us a call, or hopefully you'll want to get an introductory set of the soap. It's a soap, it's a lotion, it's a gel, it's a neutralizer, it's a moisturizing soap, and you get that by calling 1-800-544-8927. That's 1-800-5-HIV-WAR. And then, of course, we hope many of you will want to get a Phenopoly set for your children or grandchildren so they can learn to spell, so they can learn to read phonetically and to pronounce words phonetically. And in 16 hours, you can begin to undo all the damage that has been done by the government schools, deliberately dumbing them down and giving them the look-see method, which they know doesn't work. Because, of course, they don't want them to be able to read or read well or certainly to be able to spell or spell well. A dumbed-down population will accept the New World Order without any objection. And then, of course, we have here at Radio Liberty a number of wonderful, wonderful tape sets. And if you'd like a list of those tape sets, we'd be glad to send it to you. We have what we call a video special, and we've produced maybe 8 or 9 videos. You can get any 5 of those for $69.95. They're each an hour. Some of them are 2 hours long. And you can get any 5 of the videos that I have produced for $69.95. We pay the postage. And, of course, we will substitute one of David Wegener's videos, if you'd like, along with what we call the video special. We have a special on the intelligence agencies. We have a special on population control. We have a special on the secret government. We have a special on the Kennedy assassination, the downing of TWA 800. Call 1-800-5-HIV-WAR right now. Our 4 tape set on the JFK assassination includes an interview with Lee Harvey Oswald. Of course, it's not an interview that I did, but it is an interview, and you'll actually hear Lee Harvey Oswald talking before the time of the assassination, a 2-hour interview with Colonel Fletcher Prouty, who was the liaison between the Pentagon and the CIA at the time of the assassination of an American president, and then, of course, my overall analysis of the reasons why President Kennedy was assassinated. There's so much information that has not been put out, and if you listen to this 4 tape set, you will begin to understand that there are forces at work behind the scenes which have been able to confuse the American people about the reality of the murder of an American president. Call 1-800-5 1-800-5-HIV-WAR. That's 1-800-5-HIV-WAR. And ask for the JFK assassination tapes. Well, Dr. Stan, back here at Radio Liberty. Our guest this afternoon is Alan Quist, and of course his book is Fed Ed. If you're out there in the listening audience and you have a question, our telephone number is 1-888-24-LIBERTY. That's 1-888-24-LIBERTY, or here in the Central Coast of California, 464-8295. And this is a very, very important book. Now, Alan, one of the things that's really very disturbing is their approach to environmentalism. Now, we're told that there is a wall of separation between church and state, and any mention of God or Jesus Christ or Christianity or traditional Judaism is, well, that really can't be taught in school because we don't want to violate our laws. But they are actually teaching religion in our schools, and they do it so subtly that most people would have no idea what they're doing. Why don't you cover that? Because that was very disturbing.
Well, I'd be happy to, Dr. Stan. And really what the new federal curriculum consists of, like I say, is out with the old. So you get rid of national sovereignty, you get rid of basic rights, you get rid of the recognition of right and wrong, and it's in with the new. And the new that is brought in instead are the attitudes and values of multiculturalism, radical environmentalism, and one world government. And when I say radical environmentalism, it's not the proper environmentalism, which is our being good stewards of the earth and its resources. It's the radical environmentalism, which is religious environmentalism, which believes in Mother Earth, capital M, capital E. It's the pantheism where the earth is God and we're God and the rocks are God. And we're brothers and sisters with the trees and the animals and so on. And we aren't the caretakers of the earth. The earth is the caretaker of us. And you find this all the way throughout the new curriculum. In fact, I was just looking at a new, fairly new reading series by Harcourt Brace and Company, which aggressively teaches the new federal curriculum. And that has a selection in it called The People Who Hugged the Trees. And I was especially interested in that because conservatives are often accused of using name-calling when we talk about tree huggers. Well, this is the title of the story, The People Who Hugged the Trees. This is a story about a woman and her children who literally hugged or wrapped themselves around the trees. Why? Because some nasty loggers were coming. And so they wrapped themselves around the trees so the people with the chainsaws couldn't come and cut any trees. And in this story, the mother tells her children, the trees are your brothers and your sisters. Dr. Stan, they even talk to the trees, and the trees talk back. And in the story, it's made very, very clear the trees are on the same level as human beings, and so to cut down a tree and use the wood to build a house is the equivalent of killing a person and using the body parts of that person for some kind of utilitarian exercise. So that view is a pantheistic view where we and the trees are equal because everything is divine. Let me just mention, too, just a few days ago I received a phone call from one of my former students in American government, and my students have become informed on what's happening. She told me about a college class she was taking in marriage and family. And this textbook in Marriage and Family had a section on the Gaia Hypothesis. Now, the Gaia Hypothesis is one, it's just another name for pantheism. The earth is God, we're God, everything is God. And it had a whole section on Gaia Hypothesis. This Gaia Hypothesis, everything is God, we're God, was presented as the proper worldwide way to view marriage and family. And then this whole section, not surprisingly, ends with an all-out pitch for world federalism, one world government, because this supposedly is going to solve the environmental problems and the racism problems and the hatred problems and so on that we all face. So she said, you know, because I had your class, I knew immediately what this was and how this radical federal curriculum, including pantheism, is being taught in all the classes, all the subjects throughout our land, and it's even in the college classes.
And the interesting thing is that Mother Earth, the capital M, capital E, that's how you deify a word. And Mother Earth is then a deity. And of course, they know exactly what they're doing in our schools. They had to, of course, turn our children against God, the God of the Bible. So you move from, traditional Judaic or Christian belief into atheism. But the next step, the next paradigm shift, is the shift from atheism into pantheism. And that is exactly what Gorbachev and Maurice Strong and Stephen Rockefeller, that's exactly what the people at the United Nations are pushing today. We are one with the rocks, we are one with the trees, we are one with the animals, we are all one together. And that's an entirely different worldview.
You know, Dr. Stan, that's exactly right. And by the way, I just happened to order today a number of books from the United Nations Publishing Company. And one of the books they have listed is a book by Stephen Rockefeller. And I didn't order that one because I'm very familiar with Stephen Rockefeller's view. But the title is of the book is essentially this, Why Environmentalism is a Religious Position. Okay, I mean, I haven't got it quite word for word, but that's what the title means, Why Environmentalism is a Religious Position. And Stephen Rockefeller, and as you say, Maurice Strong, and Mikhail Gorbachev, those are the three people who have put together the Earth Charter and are behind these other radical environmental agreements that are taking place throughout the globe.
And, of course, behind them are these other very, very powerful people who control the wealth of the world and the banks, and Prince Charles of England, who is, of course, working on this whole idea of using the environmental issue to transform society. And you have to understand, if you keep raising these questions, and what's the solution? Why a new series of environmental laws? There's a common denominator behind everything. And every time you pass a law, you take away some freedom. You have enough laws, there is no freedom left. And that's what it's all about. It is about a tyrannical form of dictatorship. And people say, that could never happen here. Well, look at the things that are happening today. And 20 years ago, you'd say, a gay is getting married. This could never happen in America. Or, the efforts to prevent people from homeschooling, and there's a growing movement to prevent that. In fact, let's talk just a moment, because we have, I'm sure, many homeschooling parents who are listening to this program. How will these new federal standards and new federal curriculum impact on private schools, Christian schools, and homeschoolers?
Mm-hmm. Well, the impact, Dr. Stan, is tremendous, because all of the nation's tests and this starts with the federal government's NAEP test, but it's also the others, the Stanford 9, the Iowa Basics, the graduate record exam, whatever tests are given to get into law school, to get into medical school, and so on, they have been or are all being rewritten to conform to this radical federal curriculum. And so if, for example, you have a homeschooled child, teenager, or whatever, that's taking an achievement test, and let's say it's on American government. That's the field I teach, so I'm going to use that area. And let's suppose the question goes something like this: the Bill of Rights was an important addition to the United States Constitution. I, of course, would say yes to that. All of history says yes. The new federal standards say no. They say it was a nauseous project. Take this question. National sovereignty is an important part of our system of government. This textbook written at our tax payer expense, Dr. Stan, never mentions national sovereignty. Instead, it replaces with world sovereignty. So if the question is national sovereignty is highly important to freedom or something like that, the correct answer is true. The answer of the new federal curriculum is false. And so people who are homeschooled or in private schools, unless they're using the textbooks written to conform with the federal curriculum, and they probably will be, Dr. Stan, but unless that happens, they're going to be at an extreme disadvantage. Let me say, too, very frankly, as somebody who's been a teacher for many, many, many years, I do not assign to my students books or chapters or whatever and say, read this, this, and this. I do not make assignments at all. All I do is I tell students when the test is going to be and what it's going to cover. And the students very quickly find out that they have to understand the material that's going to be on the test or they won't pass. That's the way the federal curriculum works. They have control of the test, And the textbook writers and the schools are figuring out what they have to put in their materials so students can pass the test. They've got total control of it, and it's going to catch the homeschool kids and the private school kids, too.
And what you're basically saying is if this student says, well, I believe in the Bill of Rights and I believe in national sovereignty, he's going to flunk this test, and that will impact his ability to get into college, to get into graduate school, to become a doctor. All of this will go into the dossier. Is that pretty well how it works?
That's exactly how it works. Let me give another question. How many methods are there of amending the Constitution? One or two or three? Okay, well, most people are going to say, well, there's basically only one, although you can do it through a constitutional convention or through Congress. New federal curriculum says there are two. Says there are informal methods of amending the Constitution, and that when the Supreme Court makes a decision interpreting the Constitution, that is an informal way of amending the Constitution. Okay? I mean, that's how radical this is. And so if you haven't been schooled in the worldview, and it is a radical worldview of the new federal curriculum, you're going to be at an extreme disadvantage in passing the test, and you're not going to get into the law school, you're not going to get into the medical school, you're not going to be admitted into graduate school in sociology, or counseling, or political science, and the like. That it's structured to screen out people who really believe in the principles of freedom as described in our Declaration of Independence and our Constitution.
Well, let's go to Roger calling in. Roger, you have a question or comment?
Yeah, thanks, folks. I'm almost surprised by that sort of honesty about the court effectively amending the Constitution. That's almost a dangerous admission to the purposes, wouldn't you think?
Well, yeah, but did you have a question?
Yeah, I did. We do have a certain amount of limited democratic process in the vote and petitions, etc. I wanted to ask if you make a point to your students that that the democracies are considered by our founders to be the worst form of government, as Madison says here in Federalist Number 10. Democracies have ever been spectacles of turbulence and contention, have ever been found incompatible with personal security or the rights of property, and have in general been as short in their lives as they have been violent in their deaths.
All right, fine. Let's get...
I absolutely do, and I point out to all my students that really we have a representative form of government, also known as a republic, and that it is not a democracy in the strict sense or in the pure sense, but we are set up to be a republic. Now, when I teach that, however, I also have to clarify how the new federal curriculum defines the word republic. And Dr. Stan, one of the things that we're dealing with is that the radical new system uses a lot of the words that we believe in, Bill of Rights, for instance, but they redefine the words to mean something totally different.
We're going to have to get to that in just a moment here. Right now I have to tell our listeners that Radio Liberty is listener-supported, and if you're out there listening to us, we hope that many of you will decide that you're going to join the Radio Liberty family of supporters, because that's how we are able to do what we do, 5 hours a day, and 5 hours on radio, 5 hours on the Internet, 3 hours on satellite, 2 hours on shortwave, but believe me, it's expensive. And we do hope that many of you will decide that you'd like to join and help us do what we do. And as we reach out across America and increase out across the world with the information you're not going to get on many other programs. And so if you'd like to join the Radio Liberty family, if a suggested gift of $20 a month or more, you'll get our 4 best tapes of the month, you'll get our monthly newsletter, but more than that, you will be helping us do what we do. And then, of course, we hope that you'll tell others about our radio programs. You'll tell others about our Internet site, which is RadioLiberty.com. People can go and listen to our tape programs, our archive programs. They can listen to our live programs 5 hours a day, either on RadioLiberty.com or by the links there to the Genesis Network or to the American Freedom Network. Of course, no. Most people are not going to listen 5 hours a day, but of course, you will actually know that we are there, and hopefully, you'll listen at least part of the time as we try to keep you abreast of the fast-breaking events that are shaping the future for ourselves and our children. If you'd like a free copy of one of our newsletters, give us a call at 1-800-544-8927. If you haven't had a newsletter before, we'll be glad to send you one. Consider subscribing to the newsletter if you can't afford to join the Radio Liberty family. But under any circumstances, we'll be glad to send you a free copy of the newsletter if you simply call us at 1-800-5-HIV-WAR. Another of our fascinating four tape sets is entitled Concentration Camps, and it's four interviews with people talking about the move to establish concentration camps in the United States. Now, most people say that's foolish talk. We couldn't have that. And yet, if you listen to these tapes, you'll find out that those camps are a reality. They are being set up in case of civil disturbance. And, of course, the authority for the establishment of the concentration camps comes from the executive orders, which were actually put through during the time of the Reagan administration. For documentation of the location and the background to the formation of these camps, their establishment, and what may very well happen, or what they may be used for in the future, I suggest you call our 800 number, 1-800-5-HIV-WAR. That's 1-800-5-HIV-WAR for America. Our values, our future are under attack today. And Dr. Stan here, and if you'd like, of course, to actually see pictures of some of those camps, or you'd like to see Henry Gonzalez, Congressman Henry Gonzalez, saying, yes, there really is a plan in case of a national emergency, a terrorist attack, to arrest American citizens and put them in detention camps. And it has that wonderful sequence where Jack Brooks tries to bring the truth out at the Iran-Contra hearings, and he keeps getting interrupted again and again by Senator Inouye, who doesn't want the American people to know that even back then they were planning on times such as these in which we live. And of course, Alan, as you talk to people across America about the federal standards, this new federal curriculum that was sold to the American people under, oh, we want to return responsibility to the local school board and to the local parent, where it was exactly opposite. In other words, what they said was a frank lie. Under the name of local control, they were really centralizing power in government. Now, will Congress do anything about this? Are the people out there concerned enough to take a stand?
Well, the people certainly aren't concerned enough today, Dr. Stan, because there are not enough people who know about what's happening. And so that's why shows like yours, and I'll have to say work like mine in terms of letting people know what's happening, is so important. I, of course, am from Minnesota. I was also a state rep here from Minnesota, served on the Education Committee for years and so on. We've been working on this longer here in Minnesota, and we're having here some success. And, in fact, in Minnesota, the Minnesota form of all this is called the Profile of Learning, which is a radical version of the new federal curriculum. Well, we have worked tirelessly for years to let the public know what this is. And fortunately here in our last gubernatorial election this last fall, we elected a governor, Mr. Tim Pawlenty, who ran on a platform of eliminating the profile of learning, which means eliminating the federal curriculum in Minnesota. And he won by a wide margin. And it's unusual to elect a Republican to anything here in Minnesota. And so here in Minnesota, we think we're in the process of turning it around, but it's because people have become educated. And that's what we have to do nationwide, is we have to let people know what's happening. If they just know what's happening, they're going to change it, because except for the radicals, nobody supports this.
And that's the way it really is, but you have a dedicated group of radicals and the organized media, which conceals the truth from the American people. Well, let's go to Spencer. Spencer, do you have a question or comment?
Yes, sir, Dr. Stan. As you were talking about pantheism, wasn't John Denver an exponent of pantheism? And what happened to John Denver? Did he come to the realization that the Save the Planet movement is actually a black hole of nothingness?
I think that I don't think he ever really made any change, but certainly he was a pantheist. You're absolutely right. And let's go to Dave calling from Illinois. Hi, Dave. Question or comment?
Comment. Good evening, gentlemen. We'll kick quick here. Just last night on local news, they had one of these idiotic polls about whether people thought their kids were getting a good education in local schools. And, of course, the overwhelming majority said their kids were. So the people don't know. They haven't got a clue what's going on with their kids in school.
Amen to that. That's a great tragedy. But, of course, you have to help us get the information out. I wish we had some outlets there in Illinois, because we have our shortwave and our Internet where people can listen. But how are we going to reach the people in Illinois? Have any ideas, Dave?
Well, I try to spread the word about your show, but most people just have a head buried so far to say they don't want to hear it.
All right. Well, that's what do they say that... most people worship the ground their head's buried in.
That's right.
Anyway, thanks so much, Dave.
Merry Christmas, guys.
Okay, and you too. Bye-bye. And certainly, but there are a lot of good people out there, and there are more and more people who are hearing and learning the truth all the time. And I'm more optimistic than I have been at any time in the 40 years I've been involved in this whole process. Our telephone number, 1-888-24-LIBERTY. That's 1-888-24-LIBERTY. Or here in the Central Coast of California, 464-8295. That's 464-8295. Our guest is Alan Quist. That's Alan Quist, his book, Fed Ed. That's Fed Ed. And you get that by calling 1-800-544-8927. That's 544-8927. And, of course, ask for the book. It's easy reading, but you'll be just devastated when you realize that we've been lied to, and we've been lied to. And the Republicans who traditionally were against the federal interference in education are now trumpeting and pushing federal control of education. So who stands up for the public? The Democrats wanted federal control of education before. Now it seems both parties are heading exactly the same direction.
Well, Dr. Stan, on education, that unfortunately is the case, because it's been sold under totally false pretenses. By the way, another part of the false pretenses is that this supposedly is voluntary. And, you know, Goals 2000, a law, used the word voluntary many times, and the same thing is in No Child Left Behind. These standards are repeatedly referred to as being voluntary, and that's the way a lot of the lawmakers are fooled. Well, what voluntary means is that it's voluntary on the part of the states, but, oh, by the way, they'll lose all their federal education money if they don't comply. And that's why all 50 states are in the program. It's because none of them, politicians being what they are, none of them have been willing to say no to the money. And the other way it's not voluntary is because the federal government is using their test. It's called the NAEP test. To check up on the states, and the NAEP test measures the federal worldview or the federal curriculum. And so the states, the bureaucrats, find out that their tests are going to be checked up on by the federal test, and so what do? They make sure their tests also measure the federal curriculum. So there's nothing voluntary about it at all. It's all being forced on the public. But when Dr. Stan, when you say that you're optimistic, I couldn't agree with you more. And even though I'm here describing how terrible this federal curriculum is, I am optimistic too, because we are seeing that when people learn what's happening, they are outraged and they demand a change. You know, it's the master who said that if you continue in my word, you will know the truth and the truth will set you free. And that's true spiritually, that it's the truth that sets people free, but in a lesser sense, that's true politically, too, and in government. It's the truth that sets people free. And so getting the truth out to the public is absolutely the one and the only thing that can be and needs to be done to turn this around.
Well, I think that is why Phyllis Schlafly, when she wrote the foreword to your book, said this is certainly one of the most important books of our time. The book is Fed Ed, and you can get that by calling 1-800-544-8927. That's 1-800-5-HIV-WAR. I strongly recommend you get it. The book is $12 plus shipping. Of course, here in California, we have to give Governor Davis some more money so that he and his people can drive around in their luxury Cadillacs. But out across America, you don't have to pay the state sales tax, although I'm expecting it's going to go up. I mean, how are we going to meet our $34.5 billion deficit? Isn't it amazing? Nobody ever brought that up to our recent elections. And neither did the Republican candidate who was running against Gray Davis, and you sort of wonder what this is really all about, or were we being had once again. Well, ladies and gentlemen, I think that this is an important book. It's an important subject because, of course, they're targeting the youth of America. And of course, if they can convince them that the Bill of Rights is outmoded, and after all, the Universal Declaration of Rights has a lot more freedoms guaranteed. Like, what are the freedoms that are guaranteed in the Universal Declaration?
Well, it's they call them rights rather than freedoms, the same idea, but the Universal Declaration guarantees the right to health care. Okay, what does that mean? Well, it means socialized medicine. It guarantees the right to education. What does that mean? It means it all has to be government-funded and government-run. We're not talking about private education. The right to a minimum standard of living. What is that talking about? It's talking about socialism. That's what it's talking about.
You have all those things guaranteed in communist China.
Absolutely, you do. The same thing in Fidel Castro's Cuba. It's all guaranteed.
And of course, the student is told to look at the Bill of Rights and look at the Universal Declaration of Rights, and which one do they prefer?
That's exactly right. Which one guarantees more rights? What rights are in the Universal Declaration of Human Rights that are not in our Bill of Rights?
Do they actually use that?
Absolutely. It's all a setup. It's all a setup, and the student's supposed to sit there and list the rights, and the student discovers, oh, my stars, the Universal Declaration of Human Rights has more rights in it than our Bill of Rights. Well, of course it does. It has all these things like medicine and government education and so on in it. And then again, it ends with that statement that there are no rights that are inconsistent with the goals and purposes and actions of the United Nations. And if students ever compared that to the Constitution of Cuba, they would know what they've got. But of course, they never see the Constitution of Cuba, so they don't realize that they're looking at essentially a communist document. Why did all the communist countries ratify the UN Declaration of Human Rights right away? Because it was just like theirs. I just they liked it.
And what the people don't understand is that we have our troops in 140 nations throughout the world today, many of them communist nations, keeping the communist dictators in power. And you have to ask yourself, why would we do that? Or maybe nothing as it appears to be. Our guest is Alan Quist. Alan, thank you so very much for being with us. What are your parting thoughts for today?
Well, my parting thoughts are everybody has to keep in mind that this is really a spiritual battle first and foremost. I talk about it in a political sense, government sense, but it's a spiritual battle. It's a battle between the powers of darkness, Satan and all his henchmen, versus the God of gods, the King of kings, the Lord of lords, the God of light, the God of love, the God who came to our planet in the person of Jesus the Nazarene to live and die for our place. And God is the victor, and he gives us the victory, and that ultimately is where our hope and our confidence lies.
Well said. Thank you so very much for being with us. Give my best to Julie, and I hope we get a chance to talk to you before the Christmas season, but if we don't, why, have a wonderful Christmas.
Well, thank you, Dr. Stan, and to you.
Bye-bye. Okay, well, this is Dr. Stan, and I hope you enjoyed our conversation with Alan Quist. His book, Fed Ed, let me recommend you get it. Let me recommend you read it. Let me recommend you tell other people, because I can only reach so many people. But you can reach everybody that you come in contact with. This is important. You need to understand what's going on, and you need to help us to get the word out, because we're after the heart and the minds and the souls of our children. And they're preaching straight Communist Party line in our schools today, and most of the kids aren't smart enough to realize it, and tragically, most of the parents don't really understand what's happening. Pray for America. Pray for revival. Pray for our leaders, and please pray for my ministry, Radio Liberty, for our provision and our protection. And so until Monday, when we'll be back with you, Dr. Stan, goodbye, and may the Lord be with you.
They're out now. The test is already out. This is the federal. test certificate. Now, of course, they're giving it to schools, but the whole idea is to have a line there, water running, you have to get in college and everything. So, you have to all the wrong answers due to pass. So people will have to get all the homeschool kids to learn all the wrong answers. Make them think that you're being influenced.
Yeah, it's going to take the GED in March.
Uh-huh. Now, I don't know whether these things are going to be written at the state level yet. I really don't. Okay. You know, and probably they're not that quite that advanced. Now, what is the GED? Is this going to be...
That's the high school proficiency test.
Okay. You was... I wish I really knew whether to change this or not.
Okay, there is just an economic there, and this is for you. Thank you so much for coming so faithfully every week. Yeah, it is for us.
Thank you,
we appreciate it so much.